ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Bhagavatam, canto sexto, capítulo 1, verso 8. Y una clase de Srila Prabhupada de 1976 en Honolulu, Hawaii. Tasmat puraiva shviha papa niskritau.
Tasmat puraiva shviha papa niskritau.
Yate tamrityor avipatya tatmana.
Yate tamrityor avipatya tatmana.
Dushasya drishva guru lagavam yata.
Dushasya drishva guru lagavam yata.
Vishak chikshit. Chikitseta rujam nidanavit.
Vishak chikitseta rujam nidanavit.
Tasmat puraiva shviha papa nishkritau.
Tasmat puraiva shviha papa nishkritau.
Yate tamrityor avipadya tatmana.
Yate tamrityor avipadya tatmana.
Doshasya drishtva guru lagavam yata.
Doshasya drishtva guru lagavam yata.
Vishat chikshishte tarujam nidanavit.
Vishat chikshishte tarujam nidanavit.
Tasmat purai vashvaya bapa nishkritau.
Tasmat purai vashvaya bapa nishkritau.
Yate tamrityo ravipadya tatmana.
Yate tamrityo ravipadya tatmana.
Dushasya drishtva guru lagavam yata.
Dushasya drishtva guru lagavam yata.
Vishak chikitse tarujam nidanave.
Vishak chikitse tarujam nidanave.
Por lo tanto, antes que nos llegue la muerte y mientras el cuerpo tenga la fuerza suficiente, debemos darnos prisa por emprender el proceso de expiación prescrito en la Shastra. De lo contrario, perderemos el tiempo y las reacciones de nuestros pecados aumentarán. Del mismo modo que un médico experimentado sabe diagnosticar una enfermedad y recetar un tratamiento en función de la gravedad del mal, nosotros debemos someternos al proceso de expiación adecuado a la gravedad de nuestros pecados. Significado. Los Dharma Shastras, como la Manu Samhita, establecen que si un hombre comete un asesinato, debe ser ahorcado, de modo que expíe su crimen con el sacrificio de su propia vida. En el pasado, este era el sistema vigente en todo el mundo, pero con el aumento del ateísmo, la pena capital está siendo abolida. Eso no es muy inteligente. En este verso se dice que el médico que sabe diagnosticar la gravedad de un mal también sabe recetar las medicinas adecuadas. Si la enfermedad es muy grave, la medicina tiene que ser fuerte. El peso del pecado de un asesino es muy grande. Por lo tanto, según la Manu Samhita, los homicidas deben ser ajusticiados. El gobierno que ejecuta a un asesino se muestra misericordioso con él. Pues si no fuese ajusticiado en esta vida, tendría que ser matado y sufrir muchas veces en vidas futuras. La gente que nada sabe de la siguiente vida ni de los complicados engranajes de la naturaleza elabora sus propias leyes. Sin embargo, sería mejor que consultasen debidamente los mandamientos establecidos en los shastras y actuasen conforme a ellos. En la India todavía hoy es frecuente que la comunidad hindú siga el consejo de eruditos expertos con respecto al modo de neutralizar las actividades pecaminosas. También en el cristianismo existe un proceso de confesión y penitencia. Por lo tanto, la expiación es necesaria y debe llevarse a cabo en función de la gravedad de los pecados cometidos.
There are different varieties of sinful activities. Just like there are different varieties of diseases.
Hay una variedad de actividades pecaminosas, igualmente que hay una variedad de enfermedades.
So, because disease is not our normal life.
Caer enfermo no es la vida normal.
To remain healthy is our normal.
Tener salud es la vida normal.
When you become disease, that is abnormal condition of kind, therefore you want to treat, get out of this disease.
Cuando nos enfermamos, es una condición anormal de la vida y por lo tanto buscamos un tratamiento para salir de la enfermedad.
Similarly, this material life is the disease condition of the living.
De modo similar, la vida material es la condición enfermiza de la entidad viviente.
We are all living beings. But because we have accepted this material body, yes.
Todos somos entidades vivientes, pero debido a que hemos aceptado el cuerpo material, estamos sufriendo.
Matra por sabte por Dios, Dios nos gurukola. Now we require this hand. Why? Because feeling some pains on account of feet.
Como ahora mismo necesitamos ese ventilador. ¿Por qué? Porque nos sentimos incómodos debido al calor.
That feeling is felt by the body, not the soul.
Ese calor lo siente el cuerpo, no el alma. Por lo tanto, en Bhagavad Gita se dice:
Matras por sabte por Dios, Dios nos gurukula. This material pains and pleasures, they are simply touching this body, not the soul.
Los dolores y el placer materiales tocan el cuerpo, no el alma. El alma siempre está más allá. Como cuando estamos en un coche.
But not the person, the driver, is broken.
Y entonces hay un accidente y el coche se rompe, pero la persona, el conductor, no se rompe.
The car is broken.
Se rompe el coche.
But because the driver or the proprietor of the car is too much adhered to the car, but the car is broken, he's hurt.
Pero debido a que el conductor, el propietario del coche, tiene mucho apego por el coche, cuando el coche se rompe, su corazón falla.
Actually, the person has nothing to do with the car, but because he is too much attached to the car, when the car is broken, he thinks I am foolish.
En realidad, la persona no tiene nada que ver con el coche. Pero debido a que tiene mucho apego por el coche, cuando se rompe el coche, piensa, eso es el final. Se le rompe el corazón. Así.
So, we are part and parcel of God, every one of us.
nosotros somos partes integrales de Dios, cada uno de nosotros.
But we have always pure, but account of material attachment,
yes,
y permanecemos siempre puros, pero debido al apego material estamos sufriendo. Eso es nuestra posición.
Therefore, the disease condition of our present life has to be treated.
Por lo tanto, debemos tratar esa condición de enfermedad en nuestra vida actual.
What is the treatment?
¿Y cuál es ese tratamiento?
To become bitter.
Volverse desapegado.
On account of attachment, yes.
Nosotros sufrimos debido al apego.
But detachment, there are many different processes of becoming detached.
Estamos sufriendo debido al apego, y el desapego, de ese desapego hay diferentes métodos para volverse desapegar.
Many other processes.
Hay muchos métodos.
Most perfect process in bhakti.
Pero el mejor, el proceso más perfecto es bhakti yoga.
Bhakti yoga. And it's stated.
Se dice.
Vasudevi bhagavati bhakti yoga prayogita dhunayati yasu vairagya. If one is chosen to become devotee of Vasudeva Krishna.
Si nos entrenamos a volvernos devotos de Vasudeva Krishna.
Vasudeva
significa Krishna.
Vasudeva Bhagavati. Vasudeva is the Supreme
Personality. Vasudeva es la Suprema Personalidad, Bhagavan.
Ah, Bhagavati. Vasudeva Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga Prayogita. If we engage ourselves in the Bhakti Yoga process to Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Si nos ocupamos en Bhakti Yoga, hacia Vasudeva, la Suprema Personalidad de Dios.
Then, what happens?
¿Y entonces qué va a pasar?
Generally, we are to believe after. Then, very soon, one becomes detached.
Entonces, muy pronto, uno se desapega.
Mira. In Bhakti Yoga, Vairagya Vidya.
Bhakti Yoga significa Vairagya Vidya.
How to become detached?
¿Cómo desapegarse?
That is the test.
Esto es la prueba.
Whether I am making progress in the Bhakti Yoga.
Si estoy progresando en Bhakti Yoga.
The test is within yourself.
Y la prueba está dentro de ti mismo.
You have to take a certificate from others.
No hay que obtener un certificado de otros.
How do I try to be detached to this Bhakti Yoga?
¿Cuánto te has desapegado del mundo material? Esa es la prueba. Si todavía tienes apego por los placeres materiales, significa que no estás progresando en Bhakti Yoga. Esa es la prueba.
Bhakti paridhan bhava virakti. Vairagya vidya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his example of life, you are 24 years young boy, and he had a very beautiful 16-year-old wife, very affectionate mother.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dio el ejemplo en su vida. Él tuvo 24 años, era un joven, y tuvo una esposa muy hermosa, de 16 años, y una madre muy afectuosa.
In the family, two persons, the mother and the wife, is very, very good. Then the happy life.
Si en la familia hay las dos personas, la madre y la esposa, son muy muy buenas, entonces la vida es feliz. Por lo tanto, Chanakya Pandit, él dice,
Matale Sabhihilati, Bhajata Yavadi, Aranandi Nandamam, Jatarana Satan Vyam. At home, if one has no mother, and if his wife is not very approved, does not sleep very well. Wife is mad, not sleeping very well in the husband. That is the husband and wife relationship.
Si en casa, en el hogar, uno no tiene una madre, o si la esposa no es priyavarini, si no habla bien, la esposa tiene que hablar bien al esposo. Esa es la relación entre esposo y esposa. So, Chaitanya Pandit dice, si la esposa no tiene apego, si no habla bien, quiere decir que en realidad no le gusta su esposo. Si uno tiene una esposa así en casa y la madre no está, eso es el hogar feliz. Ideal en la India.
But in your country it is very bad.
Pero en vuestro país esto es muy raro.
But this is the standard of happiness.
Pero ese es el estándar de la felicidad.
For if there is no mother and there is no good wife.
Entonces si no hay una madre y si no hay una buena esposa,
then
inmediatamente tiene que abandonar el hogar. Debe ir al bosque. ¿Por qué al bosque? En la ciudad tengo una buena casa, un buen edificio. No.
For a person who has no good wife, neither mother, for him, the dharan of the dharan griha. For him, either this home or the forest, is it?
No, para una persona que no tiene una buena esposa y no tiene una madre, para esa persona, yataram yam tata griham, para él, el hogar o el bosque es lo mismo.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his two brothers at home.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tuvo estos apegos más grandes en casa. Una madre muy afectuosa, habéis leído acerca de Sachimata.
Because he was the only out of his 10 children, only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the living child.
Porque de los 10 hijos, solamente Chaitanya Mahaprabhu era el hijo vivo de Sachimata.
Absolutely. Pero
naturalmente tuvo mucho afecto por su hijo. Y Vishnupriya, la esposa, era muy afectuosa y muy bonita, muy joven. Pero él lo dejó. Eso se llama Vairagya Vidya. No hay apego.
Although there is view of attachment, but he has no attachment.
Aunque hay razón por el apego, él no tuvo apego.
He left home for the benefit of the whole human society.
Él dejó el hogar para el beneficio de la sociedad humana. Eso es Vairagya Vidya. Claro.
Demasiado claro.
Bien dicho. ¿Y ahora qué?
We're all diseased.
Oh. Hay que tratar la enfermedad.
Hay que tratar los ojos, llenarlos de colillos.
Eso es. Ahí. Hay diferentes tipos de pecados y también hay diferentes tipos de enfermedades, según. Porque la traducción, esto se enlaza con el verso anterior, donde Shukadeva Goswami dice que si no expiamos debidamente las actividades impías antes de morir, neutralizándolas conforme a las indicaciones de la Manusamhita y otros Dharma Shastras, es seguro que después de morir tendremos que pasar por los planetas infernales y padecer terribles sufrimientos, como ya antes te he explicado. Por lo tanto, antes que nos llegue la muerte y mientras el cuerpo tenga la fuerza suficiente, debemos darnos prisa por emprender el proceso de expiación prescrito en el Shastra. De lo contrario, perderemos el tiempo y las reacciones de nuestros pecados aumentarán. Del mismo modo que un médico experimentado sabe diagnosticar una enfermedad y recetar un tratamiento en función de la gravedad del mal, nosotros debemos someternos al proceso de expiación adecuado a la gravedad de nuestros pecados. Y ese era el punto primero de Prabhupada, que según hay diferentes actividades y hay diferentes tipos de enfermedades.
Antes estaba la confesión en el
sí.
Catolicismo, ahora se ha perdido. No se sabe ni lo que es penitencia, no se va a saber. Nosotros no sentimos la penitencia o el perdón.
Pero hay que tratar la enfermedad. Si no, se cae de nuevo, ¿no? Una y otra vez se contagia de lo mismo.
So, in this case,
what
atonement? So, if we don't make the atonement, then the reaction still remains. Is this, if I say, for instance, I offend somebody, or cause somebody some minor distress, so I should make an atonement for that as well. That's correct.
Yeah.
Even a simple going to somebody and telling them your story.
Sure. That's the only way to do it.
Because I find if I don't do that, I carry the guilt.
Hmm.
If I know I should do that.
Yeah.
So guilt is like the reaction.
Well, that's one part of it. But they also get punished. If it was only guilt, that's easy. I mean, sometimes you cannot live with your guilt. But generally there's also some punishment. If there's guilt, that's the first step to do something and to change one's way of acting. And aquí, everybody speaks English, yes. But the point will be, Maharaj Pariksit will say, because actually this penance is not the solution. But he will say, well, what's the point of penance? Because after the penance, you do the same thing again. Yeah, in the next verses we will see that's his doubt, you know. And we see that people, like he said, confession. When we see people confess, and then once they get out, come back from confession, they do the same thing during the week, and at the end of the week they go to confess, and then they do. So the heart does not change. You may feel guilty, and you may want to atone by confessing, for example, or even asking forgiveness. But then you do it again. So what's the point of asking forgiveness? And you can't really do that. It's not serious. You know, I beat you up, and I say, oh, please forgive me. And the next time I see you, I beat you up again. I say, oh, please forgive me. You know, so then you say, well, come on, yes. Stop it.
Yeah.
But you don't. You know, you're beating the wife or whatever. You know, I mean, oh, please forgive me. You know, I'll never do it again. I love you so much.
Yeah.
Then, you know, next hour practically, you turn around and then you slap it again. You know,
yeah.
It happens. And then she said, I'm going to leave you. Oh, please, no, please forgive me. You know, I'll not do it again. I really love you so much, but you know, I couldn't help it. You know me. You know, I have this tendency.
Mm.
Please forgive me. Okay. One more time. Then you beat again.
Oh.
Yeah. So that kind of, you have to change.
Yeah.
So the atonement, just asking forgiveness, or even going to a hellish planet and suffer. Yeah, but if it doesn't change, like punishment, then it's good. You're getting rid of the reaction, but you don't change your mentality. So therefore this is, we will see that this is not the solution.
After that, we always were committing crimes because always we are killing some living entities.
Yes.
By eating, by
walking.
Penance,
but at the same time, we are
killing living entities. What's
the solution?
What's the solution?
The only solution is to engage in devotional service. Because then your whole life is dedicated to serving Krishna. And Krishna will take care, like he says, Sarva Dharma Parijat, Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papipyo Moksha Ishyami. If you surrender unto me, I will liberate you, relieve you from all sinful activities. It just doesn't mean the past. It means the present and the future also. Because you have to eat. Jivasya Jivanam. Everybody has to, one living entity lives from another living entity in this world, at least, in the material world. You cannot live without killing another body. Even if it's just a plant. So, therefore, we have to offer it, sacrifice. Yagyartat, what is this verse? Third chapter? Yagyartat. Karma. No, karma bandhana. The Gyanta Kamani, I have to look it up. Bhagavad Gita, third chapter, and verse number 9. Yagyartat karma non yatra. Lokoyam karma bandana tadartam karma kaunteya mukta sanga samachara. Whatever you do, you have to do as a sacrifice for Vishnu, because otherwise your activity will bind you to the material world. Therefore, Krishna tells Arjuna, do your prescribed duty as a satisfying him. In this way you will become free from bondage. So whatever is done as a sacrifice of Krishna, then if there would be any reaction, Krishna will take care of it. It will be neutralized completely. So that's the only way. So if your life is dedicated to serving Krishna, then that's the way of liberation. Otherwise, any activity which is done for one's own interest will cause reactions. And then the other verse, number 13, says, Yagya shishtashina santo muchante sarva kirvishai gunjate te pagam papa ye pachanti atma karanat. The devotees of the Lord become liberated from all kinds of sins because they eat food that first has been offered as sacrifice. Others who prepare food only for their personal enjoyment of the senses only eat sin. So if it's not offered, then, and that not only refers to eating, to any kind of activity, then it's you are responsible. If it's done in the service, then it's not your responsibility. It's like somebody who is servant of a master. The master orders you to do something, then it's his responsibility. Or in like the state in a war, you are sent as a soldier to kill. If you kill, you're not going to be punished. You even get sometimes a medal. Yeah, of honor for in combat for being, you know, very chivalrous. Now, once the war is finished and you come back and you're the same person, the same weapons, and you go and shoot somebody, you'll be put into jail, or depending on the time, you'll be hanged. So the same activity, if it's done in the service of the government, it's a great honor. You're defending your country. Even if you kill somebody, no problem. You're actually supposed to kill the enemy. And if you do it on your own, for your own interest, then you're a criminal. That's basically the same thing. If we act on behalf of Krishna, whatever you do, it is free of all reactions. And the smallest thing, if you do it for yourself, immediately you are responsible. So therefore one has to change his life, way of life, not just mentally, mental adjustment. I believe in God, but you don't act accordingly, well then it's useless.
A devotee sees a apple, I like this, I want to take the apple, see Vishnu, see Vishnu, see Vishnu, and begins to eat it. Is that correct?
Depends on his consciousness. You said, ah! So why does he say, ah? Thinking of his own? Or he said, ah, what a wonderful apple for Krishna. Then, that's good. Yes, you cannot judge. He may be hungry. And he needs something to eat. And the circumstances is, well, there's an apple. But it doesn't have an altar. He can't just now cut it up and make a whole offering. So then, but he thinks of Krishna. So then it becomes purified. And it's actually is acceptable. Depends on your state of consciousness.
What can we,
if you're riding, you know, riding on a train, you haven't eaten for 2 days, and somebody offers you an apple, you accept the apple. You think of Krishna, and then you eat, and then it's prasadam.
Mm-hmm. You know we should follow the acharyas there in what we do, no?
Oh, yes.
But, for example, there was one story where Srila Gauranga saw Babaji, he put some boga in his hand like this and he offered it. Can we do this also?
I'm saying, if you are on that level of consciousness, you can do that. But you can't imitate. That's the difference between following and imitation.
Yeah.
If you are here in the kitchen, and there's the altar, and there's Gaur Nitai, and because you're lazy, you know, at noon, after you have cooked, you just take it in your hands, and you say, you know, my Lord, and then you start eating. That's ridiculous. You know, then you should, you have to go through the process, you know, do the offering, and wait. And then you take it after the Lord has eaten. It's not, you can't. You know, you have to see what is your motive. But in some other circumstance, it may be that you have to do it like this. And if you're advanced enough, you can do that.
You can offer only by thinking? Not.
Yes, you can even by thinking.
Well, only when it's not.
Sure.
Not your.
Yeah.
Thinking for. Not to chanting all the
maybe
mantras.
Yeah, if you're possible, I think. But don't be lazy because you're hurt. It's like we heard of the South Indian Brahmana. He offered the sweet rice, right? And he burnt his finger. Do you remember that story? So now if you think, oh, you know, I don't have to cook anything for Krishna, I just do everything in my mind. I save time. You know, in 5 minutes I can prepare hundreds of nice food in golden pots and offer it, and that's my service, my seva. And then later I cook for myself. If you do that, then you also should eat like that. Think in your mind, I'm eating, and that's it. Krishna is a patra pushpam palantoyam. You just offer me a flower, a leaf, and a little water, and I'll take it. Say, oh, great. It takes a lot of effort, a lot of money. You know, get Krishna some flour and some leaf and a little water, and I'll take the, you know, the mango juice and the pakora. And he says he only needs some flour and some water. He's very austere. I'm not so advanced. No, according to your means, you have to do offering. You know, not sidestep the the issue.
The class is all about this point. We are not this body, and how to
Vairagya.
Understand this, to practice Vairagya.
Vairagya.
How to serve Krishna.
Yes. That's the point. So the treatment, as Prabhupada says, and he quotes Vasudeva Bhagavad Ti Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. Actually, his point was that there are different processes like Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. Right? For the different treatments, different diseases, different treatments. And of course, we know that the real treatment is Bhakti Yoga. All the others are there, it will do some, there's some result. But as later Parikshit Maharaj will point out, there's a tendency to again become diseased. It's not, it doesn't go to the root. Like last time you mentioned that to take out the root, not just to cut, that will be the point of this chapter about atonement. You know, that this type of atonement, penance, is like cutting the weed, but then, and it looks like, well, it's not there. But the root is still in the ground. And if the circumstances are appropriate, water and sun and this and that, then it will grow again. So these Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga and Jnana Yoga is like that. It doesn't cure the disease at the root. So after some time, one will do it again. But Bhakti Yoga, the idea is that actually takes out the root of the disease. And so Prabhupada mentions, therefore, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayarashu Vairagyam. So then what is the result of Bhakti Yoga is that very soon one will become detached. That is the idea. But without Vairagya, then the disease will continue. even if you do karma and jnana and meditation and so many things. But, you know, there's no detachment. Therefore, he said, that's the test. You know, if you do a process, like even bhakti yoga, but you see you're still attached, so then you don't make progress. There's something wrong with the activity. You're not actually applying it properly. But sometimes it happens to devotees. They are practicing, you know, bhakti yoga, and after so many years, they're still attached. That doesn't work. No, it works, but you don't follow it properly. Like, you know, the doctor gives you a prescription, and you get the prescription, and it says this and this and this, and you do some of it, but you don't do all of it, and therefore you don't get cured. And you say, that doesn't work. The doctor will go, no, the doctor is okay, the prescription is all right, even the medicine is okay, but you don't take it as it is said, and you don't follow the diet, and you don't give up other habits, and therefore you don't get cured. So don't say the doctor is not good, or the medicine is not good, or the diet is not good. Everything is perfect, but you are the problem. That's the thing. Yes, that's how it is. They're very easy to understand, but we don't want to accept that. We are rascals. We always point the finger to somebody else. That's the problem. But the problem is
inside.
This, the heart is the problem. There's a heart disease, and we don't give up our attachments. So therefore we have to suffer. We shouldn't complain. Oh, I'm still suffering. You know, after 30 years, I'm still attached. Well, maybe after 30 lifetimes, you will still be attached. So one has to take a step.
So we need a good fork to get that root out.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah. But it has to hear. Shrinmatam Swakata Krishna. That's the process. But you have to hear with attention and, you know, with eagerness. There are so many conditions. Just doesn't mean enters here, you know, goes out there. That's not hearing. Well, it may be hearing, but it's not listening. There's a difference. Anyway. So that's what the point was, yeah. There are so many processes to become detached, Prabhupada says, but the most perfect process is bhakti yoga. So, and he gave you then the example, of course, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who, although he has all reasons to be attached, he had a very nice wife and family, mother, still he gave it up. So that's that's not easy. Sometimes if you have a nasty wife, then it's apparently it's easy to give it up. But even that is described by Trinodaka Thakur. This kind of, it's Phagu Vairagya. It's a bogus detachment, because if you meet somebody else, then you will become attached again. That's not the solution. Just because this wife was bad, you give her up, you become divorced, but then you find another girlfriend and think, oh, this time it will be better. So that's this it will not work. You have to become detached even from a good wife. That's the test. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had everything. And you'll be able to give that up. That's real detachment.
You said in the practice, why attached to Krishna? If you do attach to Krishna, you cannot give it up.
Well, that's your conclusion. It's correct, but he doesn't say that.
No?
Not yet. It will come. Yeah, I heard it in some other class. Yeah. No, it doesn't. He doesn't say it. Anyway, it will come. Not in this class. You're hearing so many classes. He says that, of course, that is the trick, to become attached to Krishna. Yes, we have to become attached to something. But he hasn't come to that point yet. No, not yet. Vale. No, todavía no. Algo más. Something else. There are the points, basically.
What is that verse? Param just vadadadate?
Yes, nirarasya dehina. So that one can restrain himself. Vishaya vinivartante nirarasya dehina. one can give up the objects, vishaya, restraining oneself, and then raso varjam rasopyasya, but the taste remains. That's the problem. You may give up salvo vairagya, there's a nasty wife, you're really fed up. I mean, you know, you bear it for 10 years or whatever, maybe 5 years or 2 months or whatever, too much. So you're really fed up to here, you know, hasta el gorro, como dicen, up to the hat, so beyond. So you give it up. But the taste remains, not for this one, but for maybe somebody else. So if you find somebody else next day, or you're looking for somebody, that's not the solution. So param drishtani vartate, when you have a higher taste, then you can give it up. It automatically, actually. Right? Yeah. Prabhupada gives this simple example of a child that is very attached to a bicycle, a young boy. But he only has a bicycle, but that's what he has, and therefore he wouldn't give it up. But if you put him a motorcycle, immediately he'll give up the bicycle and take the motorcycle. No problem. But if you don't have anything better, you stick to your bicycle, and you know, it's right, you know, you don't want to give it up.
So it seems like attachment is a natural feature of the soul, isn't
yes.
it? Has some type of
It's looking for pleasure. You know, we become attached because we derive some pleasure from something, and therefore you don't want to give it up. And the first thing is the body. We're very attached to the body, but that's the source of all the pleasures we have. But then once you come to the point of experiencing pleasure within, from the soul, then one becomes detached from the body, and therefore eating, sleeping, mating, all these things become practically zero. Right? The Six Goswamis, that's the example, and Prabhupada will come to that in the past.
That's like displacement.
It's automatic. It's like, you know, this goes down and this goes up. You know. Yeah. To the degree that one becomes attached to Krishna, then attachment to Maya will decrease, and vice versa. To the degree that attachment to Maya increases, your attachment for Krishna will decrease. Yes? Well, we all have that experience, I think. Very practical.
You can't have your cake and eat it.
No. Oh, you can't have both. You can't become equally attached to Krishna and Maya. That's sahajya. They think, imagination, that you are in love of God, you know, rolling on the ground and there's tears. But actually this is all bogus. You know. Or you try to do that in a situation where there's actually attachment, like, you know, dancing with other women and thinking that this is gopis and this is love of God. And I mean, unimaginable, but it's there. It's very common. I don't know, very common, but yeah, it's there are 13 different sects of sahajiyas, which means they're attached materially, but they're thinking, they're spiritually very advanced. And others who are innocent, who are stupid, they also think that these are very advanced souls. So.
Yeah,
that's another, the Saki Beki or whatever they are called. Yeah. It's imaginary, but they think by this process, it's like even tantric type of processes, you know, we are experiencing something spiritual.
The opposite, that then for the association of pure devotee, even one materialist devotee can experience ecstasy.
Mm. That's what he said today in Nectar of Devotion, yeah.
Yeah.
But that ecstasy is actually chaya, or pratibimba, that is described. It's like a shadow. It's not real. It's like a reflection. You know, the devotee reflects his ecstasy on the other person. The proof is once he goes out of the association, he immediately forgets and goes back to his material way of life. But as long as he is there, we see that sometimes people come here on Sunday and they start to dance and to chant and they feel very happy. but only as long as they're here. As soon as they go out, they go back to their normal way of life and drink and anything, smoke and do so many things, eat meat. But while they're with the devotees, they actually feel some transcendental pleasure. So that's, but it's not substance, it's called shadow attachment. But it's something. It's nothing. It's not that it's nothing. It's not completely unreal, but it's a shadow.
But it doesn't really serve them very much, no?
Yeah, but yes, it does. It is a kind of agyata sukriti.
But I mean, if they keep on doing it, if they don't advance,
that's right. No,
if they don't advance, it doesn't serve them very much.
Well, but it serves something. It's better than nothing. Because by being with devotees and doing the activity of chanting and dancing. It's a devotional activity, even if you don't know what you're doing, or you're doing it for some other reason. Like, you know, the glories of the holy name, it is described, even if you chant the holy name, you say Bula, what's the word in English?
Joking,
yes, in jokingly, you're chanting Krishna's name jokingly. Hare Krishna, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's not, but it has a positive effect. I mean, you're not going back to Godhead immediately, but it's agyata sukriti, there's some benefit there, as long as it is without offense. Anyway, so Krishna's very powerful. Any contact in any form is beneficial.
But if it's said jokingly, it's committing an offense, no?
No, not necessarily. And there are verses there. Hela is even neglectfully. Even if the syllables are disjoint. Even like the example Haridas Thakur gives of the Yavana, no, the Muslim, who was being attacked by a boar. And in great anxiety, haram, haram, which means condemned in their language. And Prabhupada, as a devotee, he also chants haram, haram, out of love. So actually two different types of harams, but even the Muslim will get some benefit. That's there. That's right there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this example.
Oh, the Ajna.
Yeah, he didn't mean Narayan, the Lord. He meant just his son. That's all. But it is said there was no offense. He chanted in desperation.
Why is he saying that we must chant very attentively, very to pronounce very very good holy names?
Yeah.
Because if not, there's no
sense. Yeah. That's what it says. So we have to do that. He chanted very attentively, Ajami. He meant it, you know, Narayan. That's the only thing he thought. There was no other thought.
If we cannot pronounce very, very good holy name,
well,
not like Prabhupada. Prabhupada, I heard that he pronounced Krishna.
You listen to what how he pronounces. He pronounces Krishna. You don't hear Prabhupada pronouncing when he speaks about Krishna. He says Krishna.
Krishna.
So. But even that is finally grahibhava janardana. Krishna, he knows what you mean. Even if you are not able to pronounce perfectly, he will take the mood of your heart. It doesn't matter, but you should try to, you know, don't chant neglectfully. That's the whole point. You know, you make an effort, and if still you can't, Krishna doesn't matter.
Are there any references in our shastras regarding visualizing whilst we're chanting? Normally, the emphasis is just on hearing with attention, but if it assists your attention to read. Visualizations of Krishna's form,
the Radha and Krishna's forms. That may be, but we had one incident at least where a devotee asked Prabhupada about this. Shivananda asked Prabhupada what he should do while chanting, whether he should think about Krishna's pastimes or Krishna's form or this and that. And Prabhupada told him, you just listen, you just hear. Because that may come, but it will come out of, like, without us trying to do something artificially. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It is described, there are different stages in the chanting. Krishna will manifest. First, I think it's the form, and then it's the qualities, and then the final thing is the pastimes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that you can artificially, you know, try to meditate on something. It will not. It doesn't work like that. It's a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
So just by hearing, then Krishna will manifest himself according to your degree of surrender and devotion. So there's no need to. But depends on if you are becoming distracted. One way is to read the names while you chant. That's perfectly all right. Looking at the picture of Krishna or the deity is perfectly all right. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
we do that. We chant in front of the deity. The deity is there, so we can see Krishna in his form. We don't have to imagine it. You know, that's the whole purpose.
Television.
Mayapur TV.
Y marcaba ese punto, ¿no? Que cantar es, o sea, que hay suficiente, ¿cómo diría eso? Campo para perfeccionarse, ¿no? Simplemente en escuchar bien, ¿no?
Mm.
O sea, si tenemos toda nuestra energía en escuchar bien, ya hay, eso ya es más que suficiente para tomar toda nuestra atención,
yeah.
No es necesario buscar otras cosas, otros apoyos, como mirar fotos y cosas así y tal. Simplemente poner toda nuestra atención en el sonido, o sea, insistía mucho en ese punto. En concentrarse en el son, ¿no? Concentrar all the energy, attention in the son. Ya no iba a ser malo, ¿no? You mentioned this point, you know. Sometimes devotees want to see some pictures, or but this means in one sense distraction.
The sun, you mean the planet?
Sound.
The vibration. To try to really to concentrate in the
vibration.
Because there's no difference,
That's a good point, because if you're looking at a picture, you could be thinking of something else. That's a very good point, I think,
Well, you're not looking at a picture, you're thinking of something else. Picture, you're not thinking of anything.
Well,
you're
back for me. No.
You
have to see what works.
The effort in the japa, especially in the japa, you have to be to concentrate in the sound. The vibration. And like Vedavya Prabhu said, it said also the same thing. And when you do that, in one point, Krishna is revealed, manifests his form, his revealing form.
I had an experience on a plane once. It's like when your life is, when you feel your life is stretching, that's when you get real cut up, and then you seriously pray to God. It's like, I think even atheists do that.
Yeah.
In the time of death, oh, God help me.
Yeah.
And I remember on an aeroplane once, I was very fearful, and I was thinking there's a crosswind, and the plane was shaking, and I had all this adrenaline rushing through my body, and powerless. I think I could die horribly at any moment, and shaking my mind. And I was thinking, I don't even want to chant the Maha Mantra. I think it's too long. I might die before I finish the mantra. So what I was thinking, where do I want to go? If I leave my body, I was thinking, well, I want to go to Goloka. So I was thinking, I'll just chant Goloka. I'll chant Goloka.
That's not the process.
If I tell you, I'll tell you what happened. It's quite interesting. And as I chanted, my eyes closed, I was totally focused on what I was going to die. And then I had in some of mine, I saw this black face of a deity appeared before me with a smile on. And I was thinking, and it was like a visitation, it was like a big conjure that just sort of came there. And then I felt really good, and I was like, focused. And it didn't go away, it just stayed there in my mind as I had my eyes closed. Then I thought, well, I've seen this face before. looking at, have you ever seen his face? I remember, oh, this is the deity of Mauritius. Now, what's his name? Oh, my God, it's go. His name's Goloka.
Wow.
The fact is, we can do that at any moment, isn't it? But that's one thing we tend to forget. Mm. And if you remember that more and more, we tend to be more focused on the meditation.
No, I just want to say, that at night when I'm chanting, I try to see some picture, and then it's like the mind is very tricky, then you see, oh, the flowers in the garden, and it's like, very easily you can get distracted with any item that is like, at the beginning is very nice, but then you finish, and for me, like, sometimes it's the beginning of some distraction.
Mm-hmm.
When if you are very focused, then it's okay, but for me, it's easy to get.
One devotee said in one class in Mayapur, said, this one devotee become very expert to do things with the left hand. They become very expert to do things with the left hand. That's on the body, you know. Chanting, sometimes you want to do things like that, and that. Or with the left, you know. You know what you do with the right, but that is this, you know. It's ironic, you know. It's not correct, you know. When you, like, the body sometimes drives, it chants sometimes.
Yeah.
It's better than nothing, but it's not. I do also.
If you're expert, you can do it.
No, in a highway you can.
Yeah. Not in busy traffic, it's not the best idea. Anyway, we should always chant, so there's no no impediment. Better to chant than not to chant.
I listened one time, this you have to be, but said, you know, basically Prabhupada said or not, he said, when the Maha Mantra is, you're on tape, you listen to some tape with the Maha Mantra. If you're not attentive to the Maha Mantra, it's offensive. Sometimes you have like bad kind of music, no?
Mm.
But you sometimes do other things, other, and you know, absorbing this in the song, this is offensive. Wonder how you qualify this or not.
Well, if it's just background, it's like even it's worse as when if it's a class. Prabhupada giving class,
yeah,
and it's just background, and you're talking and you're not paying attention,
that's
definitely offensive.
I never
everybody has to know what to do. You turn it off and don't hear anything, or have it go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if once in a while you listen, it's beneficial, isn't it? So that's up to you.
Yeah.
You decide. Anyway. Falta la segunda parte y a ver si mañana noveno canto y día siguiente la segunda parte.
Un capítulo de
el 13, ya viene el 13, el siguiente.
¿También con nombre?
No lo sé. Muy bien, si la prueba aquí, da.